Genesis 45 and 46. So the wonderful Joseph story is coming to its end, where the Joseph who had forgiven and who had sought his brethren as a 17-year-old and wanted to save them even then, finally achieves that end. But he achieves it by unconditional forgiveness, because they have not repented, as they should have done, but all the same, he cuts short the process that he's trying to put them through to make them repent. He removes the mask of the apparently tough, rough man and pours out the tenderness of his love, even though they had not repented. And so the brothers now are settled in the land, and now they all come with, as we read here, the whole list of them along with Jacob. And it's really the triumph of grace. It's the triumph of forgiveness without demanding repentance, which results in salvation. And this, of course, is how the Lord Jesus has dealt with us. And so really, in one sense, the coming up of Jacob and his family out of Canaan into Egypt is, in one sense, the picture of our final redemption. And there's Joseph, like the Lord Jesus, reigning over the land, people finding grace in his eyes, telling him, "You have saved our lives." He is established as the Saviour, Zaphnath-Paneah, the Saviour of the world. So 46 verse 1, we just note that Jacob came to Beersheba and sacrificed to the God of his father Isaac. Now, all the way through his life, Jacob has never fully accepted Yahweh as his God. When he was, it seems, 77, and he had to run away from Esau, and he has the dream at Bethel, and God says, "I will be with you and bring you back to your father's house." He says, "If Yahweh will bring me back to my father's house in peace, then Yahweh shall be my God, and I will give him a tenth." And you paid a tenth to the king. And he was saying, really, "Well, Yahweh is not my king now. I'm not really sure I believe he's going to pull this off. But if he does, sure, he will be my God." And all the way through his life, right up until now, when he is 130 years old, he still talks in terms of the God of my father. You remember when he leaves Laban, he talks about the God of my father. He swears at Galeed, at that the heap of stones that they make. He swears by the fear of his father Isaac. He's still, at 130 years old, he's still back into Sunday school Christianity. He's still talking about my father's God, not my God. And it's only at the very end of his life that he starts talking about my God. The rock of Israel, he uses that phrase. Israel is Jacob. My God, the God of Jacob. He only fully identifies with God right at the end of his life. And that's surely comfort to those whose kids don't get baptized or turn away, apparently. And the parents die. Sadness over that, but you don't know, because really and truly, so many people come truly to accept God as their personal God at the end of their lives. Being raised as a believer has great advantages, but it has this disadvantage that it is the faith of your fathers. And because God obviously thirsts for personal relationship with each of us, therefore, he will bring circumstances into our lives to knock away all the scaffolding so that we accept him as our personal God. And so, you know, verse 3 of 46, God speaks to Jacob and he says, "I am the God of your father." Right, "I am the God of your father." Yep, this is me. You keep talking about the God of your father. "Here I am. And I will be with you," verse 4, "and I will bring you up again out of Egypt." I think that, by the way, that verse 4 is one of a number of hints that, in fact, it was not God's intention that they should be in Egypt for 430 years. That was what he foresaw how it would be. It was his intention that they should go down to escape the famine and come up out of it. And if they had done that, they would have avoided so much suffering and also so much spiritual destruction. And yet they didn't. They had a good life in Egypt, as we read here in these chapters. They had a great life. And the good life, I'm afraid, kept them in Egypt. And if they had come up out of Egypt, as I think God intended, they would have avoided all the years of later suffering which they were to have. And so, in chapter 47, they come before Pharaoh. And he warns them at the end of chapter 46, look, Egyptians don't like shepherds. Just say when he asks you, what's your job? Say, well, we are involved with cattle. We're cattle herders, we're ranchers. But instead, they don't do what he tells them. Chapter 47, verse 3, Pharaoh says to them, so what is your occupation? And they say, we are shepherds. Joseph must have been thinking, guys, that's just what I told you not to say. So you still see this distance between the brothers and Joseph. And when Jacob dies, we're going to read later, they really fear that he's now going to kill them. And it must have been so frustrating when he says, you know, come near to me, let me cuddle you, let me give you a hug. And they were nervous and reticent. And it's the struggle to believe in grace. And it's that struggle which we have in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so Jacob, as I say, at 130 years old, was still talking about the God of my father. And it's not until he dies at 147 on his deathbed that he has actually come to accept Yahweh as his God. And he keeps using this phrase, as we shall see, my God, the rock of Israel, the rock of Jacob. And what made the conversion? Well, I reckon it was Joseph. He saw the fulfillment of the dreams. He realized that he had thought they would never come true and had been angry when Joseph had first had the dreams when he was only 17 years old, a long time back. And now he saw how it was all working out. And I think it was the grace of Joseph, which was so, you know, manifesting the love of God, that brought him, as an old man, now to accept God as his God. And that is really how it should be with each of us.